Lord, we give you thanks for your presence in our lives, a presence that we're reminded of here in this holy meal, because you are holy and you make us holy to the extent that we're in you. May we live in you and live holy lives for your glory, as we're cleansed by your blood and we're redeemed by your ultimate sacrifice, as you paid for our sin and you open the door to eternal life and abundant life here on earth. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now Roger is going to read the lesson for today. Somebody say my name. Oh. Just do what needs to happen. Don't pay any attention to me. Not a good pastor that forgets the offering.
Oh Lord, we thank you for this day that you have given us. We thank you, O Lord, for all the blessings that we have received in our lives. We thank you, Father God, for this day as it is, and all of these things that we have in our lives, and many blessings that we have had in our lives. For all things come of thee, and it is of thine own that we give. In Jesus' name, amen. And before we do scripture reading this morning, I would still like to see the young people receive their little Bibles. And just a question that I have. How many of us still have our Bible from when we were a little child? It's interesting. And I remember graduating from high school. One of the things my mother did for all of us when we graduated from high school was to give us a large King James Family Bible, and I still have it, as it said, on my table. But it was something meaningful, something great, something meaningful about receiving that Bible. And I remember over the years, the many times I would just get it out and read it and go through certain passages and so forth in it. So I just wanted to ask, you know, that question. And for those people who have experienced that, it is a joyful moment. Today's scripture reading is from 1 Thessalonians 5th chapter, 1 through 11. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night nor to darkness. So let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whenever we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. May God bless the readings of his word.
Thank you for that word, Lord, as we've really been focusing on the word today. Your word, word of truth, and may the parts of it that we review today speak deeply into our lives and our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've already received a gift from Mark's family since they've been here and staying with us. I guess they decided to get us a gift, and I carry it in my pocket. It's just a little pen light. You know, if you need to do any reading or anything, it's just a little pen light that would actually light this entire room up if the lights were out. Don't look too closely at it. This is a bright light. Well, today, we're going to look at the contrast between light and darkness, between day and night. And we're going to look at a number of scriptures that will be familiar to you. Some won't be. I like to use a lot of scripture because I love the way that scripture ties together. And In one case, we're going to look at one theme, day and night. And we're going to see how we have significant passages in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, in the New Testament, a couple of places, the Gospels, and in one of Paul's letters. Just that simple concept, day and night. I was inspired to do this message today as a result of last week's message, which was called Continual Contentment. And we talked about being content last Sunday. Then when we looked at the word continual, we discovered that it really needs to be a daily thing, that we are content on a daily basis. So today I'd like to look more deeply into that concept of the day. And the scripture Roger read for us talks about the day. But there's a lot of things that happen daily in the Bible. An example of that is right after Timothy. You know, Timothy was such a co-worker of Paul's. The relationship we have seen, he put Timothy in charge of a whole congregation in Ephesus at one time. Timothy received two letters from Paul. So there was such a significant relationship. And right after he discovered Timothy and Timothy joined Paul's ministry, it says, Paul said, "So the churches were strengthened in the faith daily, and they increased in numbers daily." Now, I added the first daily but because we see the second one. The work of God is a daily thing. It's every day. It's all the time. And in Paul, you may remember from when I preached through Acts, one of my favorite passages was that beautiful scene when Paul called the Ephesian elders to come to him in Miletus because he knew he was on his way to Jerusalem and he had a mission and he was focused on it. And he knew if he went to Ephesus, he might be held back. And because when Paul was in Ephesus, he preached there until it became so controversial, and then he went out of town, and for two more years he preached in the hall of Tyrannus, and it says every day he met with the people and discussed and taught the word of God. So it's this concept of day is very important. And what I want to do today is branch out a little bit into that and see particularly the contrast between light and darkness and how that's established in Scripture. And then we're going to look at something a little different at the end. Hang on. Fasten your seatbelt. This is something that really hit me over the head as I saw it a few weeks ago. We're called here children of the day in the passage in our text. Children of the day. And we're also... we're told that we need to be ready for the day of the Lord. Now, that's a different understanding of day than the 24-hour one we're talking about. The day of the Lord is the way the scripture refers to the end of time when Jesus returns. That's the day of the Lord. That's the consummation of all things. And this is really Paul telling the Thessalonians, be ready for that day. And he tells them to do that by committing their lives every day. So he says, you are children of the day. You are not in darkness, brethren, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So he says, and then he goes on to elaborate that people sleep at night, they get drunk at night, they do things at night that are not often honorable, often faithful. And he even says that we shouldn't even utter what happens at night out in the open in another passage we're going to look at. So think about light and darkness. And the beginning of this message is going to just be giving you an incredibly broad scriptural foundation for the concepts of light and darkness, of day and night, and how they really contrast with one another. So we have the letter of John, the first letter of John. He says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from sin. That's a verse I almost have memorized. It's so well known and so foundational. And it occurs right in the beginning of John's first of three letters. And then you jump to, let's go all the way back to the beginning, to Genesis. It's interesting to read just the first five verses of Genesis at the very beginning. Notice the concept of light and darkness here. In the beginning, God created, this is something we're familiar with, but I'm hoping it'll help us to hear these words again and put them all together as we see this whole concept throughout Scripture. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void or empty, and darkness was over the face of the deep. I once heard somebody say that darkness was created first. And I've thought about that and realized that darkness was there before God created. There was a void. Darkness is almost like the absence of God. It doesn't really say that God created the darkness. He created the world out of darkness and emptiness and chaotic waters. Water was there in the beginning too. So as I read on, you'll see that. And darkness was over the face of the deep. That's water. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. The first thing he created was light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. I found in the wisdom literature, you know, we just went through Proverbs. I found a proverb and part of Ecclesiastes. They're considered part of the scriptural books of wisdom. In Proverbs 4:18, notice the contrast here of light and darkness. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. I took Abenezer out on Saturday morning to Lancaster Mennonite. He had a cross-country meet, and he had to be there at 6:20. So about a little after 6, we were driving out on the bypass, and Abenezer said, this could be a painting. The light of day was just beginning to penetrate the darkness. And you didn't see the sun yet, but you saw cloud formations, and then where there weren't clouds, there was a whiteness. It was beautiful. It was the light of dawn coming. Every day, we're reminded that light overcomes darkness. And in Ecclesiastes, very simple verse, light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. Although, don't look directly at the sun, especially during an eclipse. We have to control the amount of light we take in, but light is light, and it's pretty impressive. Wasn't it eerie at the eclipse as the moon blocked the sun? It was just weird. I mean, it was like, whoo, what's going on? If you experienced that, even if you didn't get to look up at it, something. And then Paul in Ephesians talks about this. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, don't even associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's like children of the day. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is, get these three adjectives, good and right and true. We try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Here's the passage I was referring to earlier. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret, meaning at night. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. God's light penetrates the darkness, and God's light is victorious over the darkness. I told you I was reading a psalm at the beginning of the service today that seems a little out of place. It would be a great one to read if we're in the sanctuary at night, like on Maundy Thursday or the Tenebrae service or one of the evening services, because this psalm talks about the night. And wait a minute. Wait a second. You mean we're praising God at night? I thought night was all darkness. I thought it was all evil. Here's the crux of the message today. If you don't walk out of here with one thing, don't miss this. God is Lord of the darkness. God is in the darkness. One of my favorite signboards I put up over the years was, God is not just the light at the end of the tunnel, He's the light in the tunnel. So, I want us, now that we've seen and established that the light overcomes the darkness, let's look at how we can see God working in darkness. What should we do at night? Figure God's left us? Doesn't He work the night shift? I thought He was a 24/7 God. See, He's there at night. And here were the believers in Psalm 134 praising God at night. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. You see, God is also Lord of the darkness. He has conquered the darkness. If we go back to John, whose letter we looked at, let's go back to the first chapter of his gospel. And there's another imagery of light and darkness. But there's a phrase in there that I think is very pertinent to what we're looking at now. In the beginning, this is talking about creation, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, Jesus, was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And then we get into light and darkness. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Told you with that flashlight at the beginning, I would love to come in here at night and turn that thing on. I think most of us could read by it. If I hold it up here and you turn around and let your book get the light, it's that bright. I have to be careful not to turn it on when I'm looking at it. It's so bright. Well, God, imagine the brightness of God's light that it can even penetrate darkness, and that God is present in darkness. He doesn't condone what happens so often in darkness, but he redeems those who by sin with darkness in their lives stumble and fall. This is amazing to me. It's amazing. And so let's just begin looking at this whole thing about God being there day and night by looking, as I told you we're going to do, at the phrase day and night. I looked it up. You know, you have these electronic thesauruses now and multiple versions, and I'm able to really figure out where these words are and where these phrases are, and it's so helpful to have that right at my fingertips. And so I looked up the phrase night and day, and I looked up the phrase day and night. Well, day and night are in there, depending on the version, about 26 times, and night and day is in there about 14 times. So 40 times throughout the Bible you have the phrase day and night or night and day. And I'd just like to look at four of them, as I told you. The first is from Joshua, the first chapter. I love it when we find things in the first chapter. Not that chapter 2 is anything to sneeze at, but there just seems to me to be a sense of primacy or importance when something is in the book right off the beginning, like we saw in John's letter, the first letter, first chapter, John's gospel, the Genesis 1. We're looking at these first verses. Well, here are the first verses of Joshua, the first book to follow the life of Moses and what happened after Moses died. And notice the theme that comes out. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. This is to Joshua. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers. We know that Joshua led the conquest of the promised land. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. The first five books before this sixth book are called the books of the law, the books of Moses, Exodus through Deuteronomy. I mean, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And then it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it at about 9 o'clock in the morning, so that you may, wait, that's not what it says. But you shall meditate on it day and night. Okay, so good things do happen. You can read the Word of God at night. So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Be not frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's with us day and night. Here we go again. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. There's a theme here. This theme of is present in these beginnings of these books. So Psalm 1, 1 and 2. I bet you're already guessing what it says if you haven't memorized this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And then let's move to Anna. My latest grandchild's name is Anna, sister of Asher. Anna in the Bible is from the tribe of Asher. She's the lady in the temple when Jesus was taken to the temple by his parents after his birth. First Simeon and then Anna blessed this child Jesus. Here's what it says in Luke chapter 1, 2 about Anna. And there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin. And then as a widow until she was 84, She did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting and prayer, worship, fasting, and prayer, night and day. In this case, night came first. Night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. These older people, Simeon and Anna, who were walking and meditating in the light in God's temple, saw what God was doing. And then we move to Paul. And one of the letters he wrote to one of the churches in Thessalonica, we also read from that this morning. In the earlier part of that book, this is in the second chapter. So you remember, brethren, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. See, Paul worked night and day. So if there's a point here, it's this. That we should not be afraid of the dark. We should not be afraid of sin. We should not feel like God is somehow absent at night. And we should not be afraid to be productive and people of faith and to live out being the children of the day during the night. If I was going to try to get a clever title of this message today, it would be Children of the Day During the Night. And there are a lot of nights. There's literal night and there's figurative night. There's the dark night of the soul that people talk about going through when they have a difficult time. You know, in Jewish tradition, they begin the day at night. And they get that partly from that verse I read in Genesis that says, there was evening and there was morning the first day. So to this day, the Jews' day begins at sundown and goes until sundown the next day. So the Jewish Sabbath, which we all know is Saturday, actually begins Friday night at sundown. So they're honoring the night. They're beginning their day with night. Pretty interesting, I think. So let me just give you some other examples as I wrap up here. This has gone on. I actually made this list. I had this ready to read the message last week, but I decided it would make a whole new message today, and we were running out of time last week. But I've been working on this for a while. I was struck several weeks ago with the things I see in the Bible that happened either at night or midnight. And some of them were bad things, but God used them for good things. So I hope you'll, as I wrap up today, enjoy this quick run through some examples in the Bible of how night or midnight came into play. And sometimes in positive ways, like Psalm 134, that people worshiping at night, sometimes when things went bad, but God used it for good. And that's what we can believe today, I think. We don't need to fear day or night. When we're children of the day, a day is 24 hours. I said last week that the day is the basic unit of time. The day is 24 hours that it takes the earth to rotate on its axis so that the sun goes from sundown to sundown or whatever. That's a day. It's interesting that it's such a clear basic unit of time that we can't even reckon a year, which is the amount of time it takes the earth to go around the sun, in terms of exact days. That's why we have leap year. Every 4 years we have to add a day just to correct the error. It's almost like God says, you're not going to get control of this. You know, I'm going to set up the universe. You're going to try to turn it into a clock. Good luck. The day, however, is the basic unit. And it's daily that we walk. And the day includes night. 24 hours. Okay. Verse in Psalm 119, 62. I rise at midnight to thank you for your righteous judgments. Well, if the psalmist is rising at midnight to thank God, I guess he believes that God's awake at midnight. Back to the primary, you know what the primary event of the Old Testament is? It's the Exodus. Jesus setting us free from the bondage of sin through through his exodus. When they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was seen by the disciples talking with Moses and Elijah, representing the law and the prophets, what were they talking about? The Greek word there, it's translated usually about Jesus' departure, but it's the Greek word exodon, exodus. They were talking about Jesus' exodus. So the most important event in the Old Testament was the Exodus, where God chose his people Israel and set them free from bondage through miracles. And what were those miracles? The plagues. Moses was called at the burning bush, sent into Pharaoh's house where he had been brought up with his Sarah's daughter, and now he went in and said, "Let my people go." And it took 10 plagues before Pharaoh let the people go. The 10th plague was the death of the firstborn. As an angel of death passed over, the Jewish people put blood of a sacrificial lamb on their doorpost so that that angel of death would not strike their homes, because they were the chosen of God. But that angel of death passed over, and that's the origin of the Jewish holiday Passover. And that happened at night. It led to the freedom of the chosen people of God in the Old Covenant and to our freedom through Jesus. Because God passes over our deaths as we conquer death and darkness and reign eternally. In Judges, there's a story about one of the judges named Samson. You know the story about Samson and Delilah. I'm not going to go into the whole story, but you know Samson was given supernatural strength, and he learned about a plot to kill him, and it was going to happen in the morning. So Samson went at night, and he went to the gate of the city, and with his supernatural strength, he not only tore down the pillars of the gate, he carried him up the hill and threw him down up there and said, "Come on, make my day." And they didn't. And Samson ended up lifting up a whole temple full of people, and they all perished with supernatural strength that had left them and then came back. Interesting story if you want to read it. It's in the book of Exodus chapter 11. Or no, it's in Judges. Wait, it's in Judges chapter 16. You know the great story about Ruth and Naomi. I'm not going to go through that whole story either, but you probably remember that the kinsman redeemer, Boaz, ended up taking Ruth as his wife. And there's quite a dramatic story. Timothy told it recently, either in Sunday school or in a preaching message, and we've all probably read it. But it's interesting that the hour when Boaz realized that he was to take Ruth as his wife, which he was reluctant to do, but he did, was when he found her reclining at his feet at midnight. It was at midnight that he woke up and said, there's that woman I saw out gleaning the fields. Maybe you do want me to be her kinsman redeemer. And he went on from there to marry her. Midnight. Here's another great story. It's in the life of Solomon. There were two women. We've probably heard these stories. They're some of the favorite ones. They're interesting stories. There were two women who had babies, and one baby died, and the other one lived. And during the night, at night, let me see if it was midnight. This is in 1 Kings. Yeah, it was at midnight. At midnight, the mother of the baby who died switched out her dead baby for the living baby. And when they woke up the next morning, the mother of the living baby said, "That's not my baby, that dead one." So they went to Solomon to settle it. And they both said, "This is living one is my baby." Well, one of them was lying. And Solomon, who's known for his wisdom, figured out how to figure out which one was lying and which wasn't. He said, "Okay, I have the solution. I'll cut the baby in half." Who do you think objected to that? It was the real mother who said, "No, don't do that. The baby is hers," when it was hers, not the other one. All that drama started at midnight. And God used it to demonstrate incredible wisdom. Jesus told parables, you know, the 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish, some were prepared for the bridegroom, some weren't, some had oil, some didn't. When did the bridegroom come? At midnight. Acts 16, Paul and Silas were in prison. Remember, they had been arrested and thrown in jail. What were they doing? They were sitting there singing and worshiping God. When? At midnight. And what happened at midnight? Their chains fell off and the prison doors blew open. And they ended up going to the jailer's house, who was going to kill himself, and giving him eternal life through Jesus by their witness. That all started at midnight. And finally, this story. These are some of my favorite stories, and they happen to be at midnight. Remember, Paul had gone, it was in chapter 20 of Acts, he had gone to preach, and he was preaching well into the night. Well into the night. He preached for hours. You think you have it bad here. I mean, I've only been going 32 minutes or 30 minutes. He went on for hours, and it was hot, and there were lights burning, candles, and good old Eutychus was sitting in a window, and at midnight, the heat and the incessant preaching of Paul got the best of him, and Eutychus fell out the window and died. Hit the ground and died. Well, God used it for glory because Paul went down. He said, oh, he's not dead, and he raised him from the dead. See, God often does some of the most miraculous stuff in the midst of the things that come out of the darkness. So don't be afraid of the darkness. If you're going through a dark night of the soul, say, okay, God, what do you want to teach me? How are you going to show me your love? How are you going to show me that you will never leave me or forsake me like you told Joshua? Because God is the Lord of light, but he's also the Lord of darkness. Lord, we thank you that you are Lord of all time, Lord of everything in our lives. And we just pray, Father, that you will indeed help us to live every day, all day and night for you, knowing that even the night, which symbolizes sin and darkness and separation from you, is actually a time when we can draw very close to you. Thank you for our lives, for your lordship, which is not restricted by time. You are an eternal and timeless God. We pray in Jesus' name.
And our close reading will be 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, 9th verse. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand as we're dismissed. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us perfect in every good work, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace, and the God of peace go with you.
Come on, what's in the blessing?